Rob Kirby, macroeconomic analyst, formerly on the trading desk. He knows what's going on behind the scenes, and that's why we like to hear his thoughts. Welcome back, Rob Kirby.
Pleasure to be with you, Chris.
Great to have you. You know, we've had another good solid year. Silver up over 14%. XAU still on fire. Never really even hiccuped. Give us an idea of what you see in the precious metals market.
What I see in the markets, Chris, is that both gold and silver are still not trading in what I would consider to be a free market. And much of our capital markets, in my view, represent little more than a massive crime scene. We see the long arm of government control in not only the precious metals arena, but we see it in various currency markets, and we see it very heavily in the bond market. And to put your listenership sort of in the picture in terms of a free versus a highly manipulated and distorted market, I would suggest people take a look at the way that Bitcoin currently trades, and you will have a pretty good idea if you watch Bitcoin for a few days the way a real freely traded market actually operates. The reason why Bitcoin is able to trade and operate somewhat as a free market is because Bitcoin has a unique quality that isn't present in gold or silver or bonds. Namely, you cannot sell a Bitcoin that you do not own, or that has not been mined. But what this does is it takes all this optionality out of the trade in Bitcoin. And when I say optionality, or the rude manipulation of the futures markets, we did see in the aftermath of the U.S. presidential election on election night, we saw the market's initial reaction to the unexpected Trump win. We saw that immediately gold went up close to $100, and the stock market futures plummeted on that same news. But, you know, late in the evening, the apparatus that controls the pricing of so much of our markets in the Western world came to work, and they reversed those superior gains in the precious metals, which intuitively was correct. The tremendous drop in the equity futures, which was intuitively correct, and these movements were reversed by force. In the case of gold, literally, in paper form, in the 72 hours following the presidential election, more than three times the globe's annual production of gold out of the Earth's crust was sold in paper form inside of 72 hours after the election. What this amounts to, Chris, it's gold that, A, does not exist, and technically it's gold that will never exist for sale. And it's through the selling of these paper products on futures markets or digital markets. A lot of people refer to this as paper gold, but this enables the price managers, which in my books is the U.S. Treasury, are able to keep the price of gold suppressed, meaning that the alternative to the precious metals, or sorry, to the dollar, being the precious metals. They want to keep their fiat money backed by nothing, looking superior to real money, which is precious metal.
Cryptocurrencies are something I've dabbled with personally, primarily a silver-backed cryptocurrency I call Silverbit, piggyback blockchain off of Ethereum. And any of my listeners who know, Ethereum is, I think, going to overtake the rest of the cryptocurrency space eventually. That's just my personal opinion. At least it has the opportunity. But back on point, they've sort of let the genie out of the bottle. And we talked about this in last week's show. I mean, Gresham's Law, bad money drives away the good money. Our authorities haven't really grasped yet, and maybe this is a topic for another show, there's a new bad money. Of course, we don't think of it as bad. We don't think of this revolution in bitcoins as being bad, but it really is totally, in many ways, free money, unless we want to get down to the heavily energy and algorithm intensive. The Chinese are way ahead of us on this because they have access to virtually free energy, as I'm sure you know. I really wonder if the Fed and the Treasury and their economists have pondered and examined just where this is going to lead. The dollar's reserve currency status, I don't think it can survive, can it? A competing money.
I would respond to that by saying the rise in the popularity and the usage of cryptocurrencies, in my view, is the manifestation of the law of unintended consequences. Because it's my belief that naturally, in a freely traded market, gold and silver would have risen very, very dramatically and sufficiently that they would be currently expressing themselves as very, very meaningful, viable alternatives to fiat currency, which has been extremely mismanaged by the stewards of the world's reserve currency, the U.S. financial elites, and the central banking community around the world, because the European Central Bank is doing a very poor job as well in managing the euro. My view that the rise of the cryptocurrencies has happened precisely because gold and silver has not been allowed to do and perform its historical function. And the rise of the cryptocurrencies is showing us, or is the manifestation of humanity's dislike and lack of trust in fiat money. People intuitively know when they're getting a bad deal. And you see, it's like water finds its level. If you try to put 2 gallons of water in a 1 gallon pail, the 1 gallon that cannot be contained in the pail finds a resting spot elsewhere. And the rise of the cryptocurrencies is effectively the face which has been displaced from fiat currencies finding its place elsewhere. And this will continue to accelerate because the clowns running our global fiat money systems have no plans other than to continue to create more fiat money at increasingly swift rates.
But what officials have done by corralling the gold and silver markets in such fashion, using the most unbelievable paper schemes since, I think, arguably, the great revolutions in France, just hasn't been anything like this since John Law. You have an inevitable filling of the void, this brilliant algorithm we call Bitcoin. Is it possible that even Bitcoin will eventually have inherent limitations, many of which we already know and we've found? Folks will turn back to that barbarous relic.
I believe so. But what I find fascinating about it all, Chris, is the sheer irony in what's occurred. Because what the managers of our fiat system have tried to pull on humanity by employing algorithms and futures and derivatives, they've attempted to limit the rise in the price of gold and silver using these algorithmic computer-assisted trading schemes, and it's ultimately going to be an algorithm that undoes them. So currencies are algorithms.
I think it's just as ironic, a Satoshi, the smallest denomination of a Bitcoin, we refer to as a Satoshi, which of course also the name of the creator. Is it possible that this was really little more than a CIA side project? I think someone would have stepped up and claimed responsibility at $1,000 a Bitcoin right now. I mean, keep in mind, just a few years ago, it was pennies on the dollar. From what I've read, Satoshi put aside, I think it's 500,000, and then the rest were placed in the blockchain. So I'd like your thoughts on whether or not this might just be a CIA operation or KGB, a parallel, monetary system.
Well, I do believe that necessity is the mother of all creation, and it's been the poor stewardship of our global fiat monetary system. It's the manifestation of the failure of Keynesian economics that has given rise to the advent of these cryptocurrencies. Without a doubt, exactly who's created it, I don't claim. Look at the current system. I mean, we can examine. I mean, it was just last week there was a paper made public by a chap by the name of Grant Williams, And if you go to YouTube and you plug in the name Grant Williams and along with the words mines and money, you will see a presentation which was given late last year at a big conference. And I believe it was in Singapore at the Mines and Money Conference. It's an annual event. What he illustrates in a very, very, very short space of time in this YouTube video is how the world is de-dollarizing. In de-dollarizing, he illustrates how crude oil is being transacted in other than dollars between major parties in the world. And when other countries deal in crude oil, big enough countries deal in crude oil in sufficient amounts in non-dollars, the amount of dollars they need to hold in their reserves lessens over time. What we have seen empirically, and Grant Williams illustrates this in his YouTube video, countries like China and Saudi Arabia have actually begun to lessen their holdings of U.S. government securities. And they've been doing this at quite a rapid clip now over the past 18 months to 2 years. And the implications for this on a go-forward basis, when you take into consideration that China and Saudi Arabia are historically two of America's biggest financiers and creditors who buy up the American debt when it's issued, they are holding less today than they were 2 years ago. And what this means is, and people should be asking some very serious questions about what the implications of this are, if China and Saudi Arabia are buying less, who's picking up the slack? Because America continues to run massive deficits. So not only do we have problems consuming or allocating the outstanding debt, we're still piling on, I don't know, roughly at least $1 trillion a year to the outstanding. So who's buying the bonds, Chris? That's my question, and nobody seems to be able to give me an answer that I can stomach or believe. Who is buying the bonds?
This is a rhetorical question, I feel.
Yes, I have a theory on exactly who's buying the bonds. It's my belief that the Exchange Stabilization Fund in America is actually buying these bonds with dark dollars that aren't even admitted to exist.
The plunge protection team.
But it's my belief that debt is being bought by America in dollars that do exist, but they exist on the dark side of the U.S. Treasury's ledger. Because they are dollars that are purchasing this debt that's being liquidated by foreign holders, it cannot show up in the reserve accounts of any other entity. And as such, this debt moves to the dark side of the U.S. Treasury's ledger because that's where the dollars came from that were used to purchase it. We've heard stories, or at least I've heard stories, over the past number of months that the world is actually suffering from a condition of too few dollars. And anybody who actually believes that, in my view, given everything that we empirically know has occurred, the fact that countries are rebuking the dollar and are trying to liquidate their reserves or lessen them, to me, speaks absolutely against the notion that there are not enough dollars in the world.
I think it's just like anything else, you know, like a VCR. I mean, it's going to carve out its own spot and maybe eventually overtake the currency space, or maybe just move in parallel, as we still have movie theaters today. But think of it as a diversification tool and not as a substitute for the precious metals, because if the power goes out, if there's a major emergency and whatnot, good luck getting, you know, your local folks, maybe even neighbors, to accept even a private Bitcoin wallet that's separate from your hard drive. It's just not going to work. Whereas, you know, junk silver and small denominated gold coins will be your go-to asset in times of trouble. And I think it just always will be the case.
I was just going to say, Chris, I think you stated it very accurately. Fiat currencies, whether it be dollars, Reichsmarks, Zimbabwean dollars, or the fiat currencies run from, as I've heard it before, from A to Z, a currency that begins with the letter A. I guess you could say the American dollar, really, I guess, begins with A to Z, being Zloty, which is another failed fiat currencies. But fiat currencies come and go. Gold and silver endure.
Rob Kirby, please tell people more about the services you provide and what they'll find when they reach you.
Well, you can find a lot of educational material in archives in my at my site, and new material as it comes along. And you can catch me on the web at KirbyAnalytics.com.
Going to look forward to having you back on the show.
Pleasure being with you, Chris.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.